I thought that I was going to be able to play the video right now. So that's my apologies that I ran out and grabbed a cup of water. So I just have to load it up. Fun thing is, I'm still connected to everything. An error has occurred, of course. Try later. Well, guess what? This is what I'll say. There's a video for you guys. So, greetings. It is good to be back here. I've missed you guys. I can probably speak for my family in saying that. But it's nice to be here. I did forget in the 2 months that we have been away that it gets really windy around here. we have trees up north now, so that's nice. But other than that, yeah, it's just really good to be back and see familiar faces. I've been going around for the past month every Sunday and Wednesday traveling, going to different churches. So it's nice to be somewhere where if I mess up on a video, no one, you guys can chastise me and it's fine. Because I know where most of you guys live. So that's the fun thing about life. Anyway, so I go around, I give a spiel, of course, of three things that we ask. And all of them I know that this church does because I've been a part of it for the past few years. And so, of course, that's always, we ask that you support us. And that's, we ask for your support, which, of course, that's sending your kids, which is kind of part of that number two, which also financially, which the church does, of course. But you guys are like the ears to the ground for us, or the ears to the ground as well as the feet on the ground for us at Lake Beauty. Brian always says that there's 64 churches that own the camp. So fun fact, you guys still pay for my salary. So look at that. We're still connected. And nowhere else can I do something like this. This is so fun. So anyway, we ask for the support because you guys are kind of like the ears to the ground. You guys know what's going on, and so we ask for your support, sharing the word of mouth as well, that sort of thing. We ask for you to send your kids, which you guys do. We do have an early bird discount that ends April, Bonnie probably knows, April 9th or 10th, I believe. So if you do need discount codes, she is the lady to see. She has got that all set up for the various weeks of camp that we do hold in the summertime. And then three, we ask, of course, for your prayers. And we know that you guys are doing that specifically for myself and my family. But we ask it as a staff, as we're hiring on about 30 to 40 full summer staff, the 10 to 12 of us on full-time staff. I'm going around promoting right now during the season of life, as well as we have our food service director. She's doing a short-term mission trip in Jamaica at the moment, so we're active hands, and we're actively a lot of places, but on property as well. We too have gotten lots of snow, and so we pray that, and we pray that we ask for your prayer for the kids that are going to come, for our staff, and for what's going on this summer. And so one big thing that they were starting to create even before I got there was this lovely, cool, really new pole course, a high ropes pole course that they are building, which is really cool. So we started that last week. We started taking out some trees where the old one was at, and our goal is to hopefully have it ready by Memorial Day. So that's kind of like the update. A lot of they say the update also is that I'm there, but as we all know, that's old news. It's crazy. It's been 2 months. So that's the three things that we always ask. We always ask for support. We always ask for you continually send your kids, and not just kids. I should say, you know, we do, we have from way down to, just completed first grade all the way up to high school. We do have our leadership camp. It's called LIT Leaders in Training. It's a 2-week intensive discipling program that we held at camp. So that is an application only. So Canon Wick, you need to finish your application. See, I can call out you kids because I now know the inner workings of camp. So anyway, so you can do that. We do have the thing called after that junior staff, but we're not just only a children's camp. We do have retreats that happen all year round, as well as three different family camps that go on the three summertime holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and 4th of July. So I know that there's quite a few couples as well as families that have been out there for that in the past. So if you have any questions, you can ask them about and spots are filling up quickly, but there's still some available. So that's basically Lake Beauty. which now the fun thing is, I get to speak and preach in front of my favorite crowd. And actually, one particular person who in 3 years never got to hear me preach, and that was Eric. I thought about that, and I went, ooh, this is the first time I get to preach, and he's actually here. So it just adds to the fire, I guess, of things. So as we all know, I love to run. Right now, I do not love to run. I love to sit around and eat, like, cheese puffs. Anyway, I love running, especially when it's warm outside. I always tell people a claim to fame of mine is that I have run 8 half marathons. My goal is to run my 9th, and if I can, my 10th this year. I'll start practicing again. And Zeke, I don't know who I'm going to practice with because I don't have a track team to help me out. So I got to figure that one out. But anyway, I love to run. Love to run a lot, and I love to run these marathons. It's like my time away and my time alone with the Lord as well as with myself. And during that time, of course, everyone would say the hardest part of running is the training. And yes, it can kind of the training gets monotonous if you're going 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, some people do. And depending on how hard you're trying to train, my thought is the hardest part of running is that race day. But it's interesting because it's 13 miles, and a lot of people are like, oof, 13 miles. And I would say, yes, that is a long distance. You'd be surprised on how much you walk in a day, though, as well as, so I don't know where I was going to go over there. But, you know, you prepare yourself for that race day, and it comes. And the moment, at least for me, at least the last few races that I've been in, the one thing that I consistently tell myself is don't go out too fast. Because like all my adrenaline is like rushing and it's building up in me, and I know if I go out too fast by like mile 6, I'm gonna just be like gassed. But the thing that keeps on popping in my mind every time that I run, there's two things. One, it's man, I should not have drank all that water before I ran because now I have to go to the bathroom. And so it does the mind playing tricks on you. And the other one is, man, I'm really thirsty. Like I feel like I haven't had water in days. And you just kind of get that cotton mouth. And I think we probably have all been there where we've been up in front of people, even though we just had a cup of water, and you think about it, and you're like, man, my mouth feels really dry. And you feel like that cotton, that they call it cotton mouth, I think. I don't know who's stuffing cotton in their mouth in order to see if that's what it's called. But you have that feeling where you just have that dry breath amongst you. But that mind over matter, that thought really comes, mind over matter really comes into play in something like when we long for something, which is something essential, like water, that we would do anything for it. I love the book of Psalms. I love all 150 of them. They're a lot of fun. This is what I thought of yesterday. This is the only church also that I can call out the congregation, and not just any part of the congregation. And now I got to look around and see. There's not a Parker and Gregory were there. See, I did this thing called early release. Yeah, Emerson remembers, doesn't he? So I did early release last year or last semester. We went to Dawson, of course, had the kids come out. We would do Bible study. Anyone remember? We talked about the Book of Psalms, boys, did we not? I was hoping that one of the girls would be, but I don't see any of the other girls. And can I call you out? Emerson, this is putting you on the spot. What is the book of Psalms? It was a book of... happy. Yeah, okay, those are emotions. That's good. But Parker and or Gregory, do you guys remember what the book of Psalms? They were started with an S, ended in an ong. Songs, yes. The book of Psalms, thanks guys. The book of Psalms were basically, David as well as other guys and maybe some ladies, they all wrote like this sense of poetry. That was another word I was thinking of, poetry. They were poetry, they were songs, all these things. David, though, of course, he wrote about half of them. Emerson pointed out some of them were happy, other of them were sad. Some were of like contentment. Some were of vengeance and remembrance. A lot of them were about remembrance. But David was not afraid to wear his emotions on his sleeves. He was able to just express himself freely, in whether he wrote it or said it, and someone wrote it for him, and we have it down in these Psalms. that he was not afraid to speak his mind to God. And I love that because he was blunt and everything. And I, of course, am as well like that. And David, of course, used such imagery in his writing. That's where that poetry comes into play. He's always seeming to compare things together. And I had dubbed them, when I was in college, I had to take a class on the book of Psalms, I had dubbed him the metaphor man. Just because he used so many different metaphors in order to go with what he was saying. And like what Charlie read earlier, Psalm 63 is no different. David begins by telling God that he seeks him. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I remember when I was playing a kid. I remember when I was a kid, I used to play this game, actually, not even just a kid. I remember last summer, I played this game. It was called Hide and Seek. So, we all know the premise of the game of hide and seek. You know, some people go and hide, others, somebody's, you know, counting down, trying to go look for them. I loved being the person that sought after all the people, because I thought I knew where everyone was hiding, so much so that last summer I took a lot of your kids and we played hide and seek in the church, and I had them all go hide in certain spots and everything, and I went around and looked for them, but it was like 3 a.m. and we were all really tired and I gave up after like 5 minutes, because anyway, but I love it. I love the game hide and seek because you just feel like exonerated when you find somebody. For David, that was what he was doing. He was trying to play like a game in a way of hide and seek. But of course, God was never hiding. He never hides with us. He is always right there beside us. Sometimes, though, we have like a cloud or a fog in between us that we can't quite see him. So David speaks this, God, you are my God. He makes this a very good statement, pleading to him that this God is his and his alone. He goes, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. He seeks after him. He seeks after God. And David does not just seek God. He does it earnestly. Another word for earnest would be like eager. He was eager to look for him. The Message Bible, we all have another translation. It's more of a paraphrase. So you got to take it at its word because you're like, well, really, what is it saying? It stated this, God, you are my God. I cannot get enough of you. That's what they're pinpointing of that verse. I can't get enough of you, God. I can't get enough of you. The image, of course, that I think of keeps coming back in my mind when I think of that is when a couple gets engaged and the girl is so excited to show off her engagement ring to all of her family and all of her friends. She's like really excited to be like, oh, look what I have. I have this really fun ring. And oh, look, it's so big and it sparkles under the light and everything like that. They're eager to share the news with other people. They are excited. And so the question then I ask is, when have we been excited and eager to seek God? Where are we doing that? We go on. David continues with the phrase and states, of course, the sense of imagery that his soul longs, his flesh faints for God, like if he were in a desert. Now I'm going to ask you all, and I could poll you if anybody has been to a desert. I'm sure we've all seen pictures of it. You know, when we say desert, of course, the first thing that probably pops in our mind is sand. Lots and lots of sand, unless, of course, you think of Antarctica, because technically that's a desert too, so you would just see ice. But this desert, it's a land where there's nothing. There's no water to be had. There's nothing there in the desert. And so that's the imagery that David is pulling from. Like, his soul longs for God in such a way that it's like he's just in the middle of nowhere, just searching for him and looking for him. We can be in a place like he describes. We can be in a desert sometimes and not know where God is. And not know where God is. We might even be wondering even if it's worth seeking him. And that desert doesn't have to be like we're just alone. We could be sitting in a place like here in church with a bunch of other body of belief, with the body of believers and just think that we are on an island or we are on a desert alone, not thinking or not knowing that we can look or even should search for God. We may try to find him also in wrong places. We like to call these mirages. We might find him in mirages, places like a spouse or a job or a child of ours or a passion that we might have. For me, it's running. Am I trying to search for God while I'm running and creating running as my God? But we never, though, seek him entirely. Or we even may go the opposite direction. And we may think that even if we attempt to seek him, he's not even going to be there to notice us. The shame and the guilt that we could feel have been built up in our hearts, has created a mask and a fog between God and ourselves. And it becomes denser and denser till we just forget to seek him. So we can go all of those directions. We can either go towards him. We might feel like we're trying to go towards him, but he's not hearing us. So we're on that desert alone. And or we can just be like, why would God even want to be around me? And just slowly but surely drift into the wind and forget about him. But it's that question that I asked earlier. When are we seeking him? When have we felt the eagerness like David did to say, oh God, my God, earnestly I seek you? And the other question is your soul even thirsting for God? David, though, doesn't just stop with that verse. That verse is a key verse for us this summer. It's actually our theme verse. I'll get into that in a second. But David, though, doesn't just stop there. We are presented with this word that is used in the psalm, so, S-O, so. That's it. It's such a cause and effect word. One thing happens, so another thing can happen. Because, David says, because I seek God, I go and worship in his sanctuary. I worship him, he says. Oh, how I long to be like David and to seek God out more. And because I do, I can know and praise him in his sanctuary. My hope and my prayer is that we can feel that way, that we can seek God enough, and not just enough, but continually seeking him. That eagerness is there that we're wanting to. The first thing when we wake up in the morning is, how can I seek God better today? Not what notification is on my phone. Or, oh, what are the things that I have to do today? What's the list in my head? Those things are hard because we're wired that way the list in our head. The phone thing has become a little more of a distraction. All of those distractions, though, for that first thought, I hope and I pray that we can say, how can I seek him better today? How we can worship him in his sanctuary. David goes on, of course, to give us reasons why he seeks him. And one that we should not ever forget. He says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. A constant reminder for us in times when we feel like we're in the midst of a desert. Which leads me to, of course, one thing you would see if you've watched the video, that's great. If you want to, we have themes at camp. Our theme this summer is called Oasis. An oasis, for those who do not know, is a body of water. You know, there's trees there because of that body of water, but that body of water represents a life source found in the desert. And so it's called Oasis, and then our tagline is encountering life in the desert. And of course, we can be like David and use it as a metaphor. This desert is what we call life. And so we're trying to find life in this desert of our own life, of the society, of the world that we live in. Because we can seek God in different places, which we call mirages, and thinking that we're finding him, but those places and those things are fleeting, where God, of course, is eternal and everlasting. And so once we find that oasis, it's discovering what is it? What is that living water that's inside of it that we'll talk about this summer at camp? And so we do that. And so the big overarching question, though, that we're trying to answer is, who am I? Who am I? We are hoping that by seeking God earnestly and to our fullest, we will be able to discover this and try to hopefully start beginning the process of answering this for those that walk under property this summer. Of course, we know that we are all children of the divine King, who has a love for us that cannot be broken, cannot be lost, cannot be weakened, cannot be misplaced, cannot be forgotten, or anything. Your steadfast love endures because it is better than life. My lips will praise you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that in times where we might feel like we're on an island or in a desert and we can't see any other living thing, we can know that you are present and that we will earnestly seek you and that we can boldly say, God, you are my God. I pray, Lord, that you will just encourage us, that you will use us to share that message with others, that we can be like David and find you in your sanctuary, that we can worship you wholly together as well as just intimately between myself and you. Pray, Lord, that you'll encourage those out here that heard this today, that they will be able to take this with them, that they will be able to discover you in a different light and a different place. Father, be with us, abide with us, and walk with us. Allow us to become the aroma of Christ. And it's in your name we do pray. Amen.